At this time of the year, when many people are actually thinking about New Year's resolution, I believe there's a teaching in the Bible that will be very helpful. And that idea is actually contained in the book of James, where it says that we should be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Being someone who does what they purpose to do or what they hear, instead of just hearing about it. And this idea actually relates really well to New Year's resolution, because in the New Year's resolution, what the things that we write down is actually the things that we hope to accomplish in the following year, and not just, you know, reading about it or just thinking about it, but we actually go do it. And that idea is what the book of James is talking about. Let's say, for instance, someone in their New Year's resolution decide to read through the first 5 books of the Bible, and of course, you know, it's pretty long, and then sometimes it gets a little tedious when you reach Leviticus and Numbers. But, you know, that could be the person's resolution. And if the person just, you know, writes it down in a piece of paper, that's saying that, you know, that's my resolution, and during the course of the next year, all he does is just read through his own resolution without, you know, reading the Bible, then that really doesn't help. That really doesn't accomplish what he purposed to do. However, if he does it little by little, day by day, then, you know, as he does it, he is constantly reminding himself that he has this target that he wants to do. For instance, if someone, you know, if he on maybe January 1st or January 2nd, he decides to read you know, the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and as the day goes by, that you know, he reads maybe one chapter per day, then he will constantly remind himself that, you know, as that this is his resolution, that he's accomplishing what he sets out to do for his New Year's resolution. And this truth is true in the natural world, and in the things that we plan and purpose to do. It is definitely also true for the biblical truth in the spiritual realm. And that's why in the book of James, in especially James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25, God, the Holy Spirit, through James, reminds us that we should not only be hearers of the truth, but we should actually be the one who does it and lives it out in our life every day. So as we live out those truths in our lives every day, we will not forget those truths, but we will, you know, as we do it, as we keep on doing it, we will be reminded that we are, you know, becoming more like Christ each and every day. So let's turn to the book of James and read that passage. It's James chapter 1. Let's just read verse 21 to 25. So it's James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So this is just a few verses, but it has a big impact, and it teaches us that not only are we to be able to hear the truth, or to read, if we read the Bible, the God's truth, but we should actually live it out in our life, to do it, to do the things that God tells us to do. So let's break this down, break this passage down into a few parts. And the first part is that, you know, first of all, we have to be able to receive the word that was implanted into us. And this word, which is basically the truth of God's word and the salvation the salvation that God has given us. In verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So we can see the first step of doing the word is, first of all, to be able to receive the word. Well, you know, that's common sense. If you don't receive the word, how would you be able to do it? If you don't agree with the word, how will you, you know, actually purpose in your heart to actually go accomplish it or to fulfill it? And what word is it? It's the word that is able to save us. It's the word that, of course, as I said, it is the salvation story that God has given us. It's a salvation truth that God has given us and from the Bible. It's Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We just recently celebrated Christmas, where the Word became flesh, the Savior of the world. You know, became a human being and was born to Virgin Mary, and he lived his life in perfect righteousness, and then at the end he died on the cross for our sins, so that on the cross we could exchange our sin, our unrighteous life for his righteous life, and after 3 days God raised him from the dead to show that he has not only accepted what Jesus did, but he actually approved what Jesus did. And if those who believe in him, and John 3:16 says that we will not perish but have eternal life. So that's the first part. That's the introduction into the kingdom of God. Meaning that those who do not accept this truth cannot progress further into the kingdom of God. However, those who have accepted and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have stepped into the kingdom of God, and then we can grow in it. And that's why in verse 21 of James chapter 1 says that we should receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our soul. And this word includes all the things that God wants us to do, being holy because he is holy, and doing becoming more like Christ, and having all the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and all those things. And that there's a big contrast between righteousness and truth. And in verse 21 says, we should lay aside all filthiness and the wickedness. So someone who hears the word has to hear, first of all, the right word, the word that brings salvation, that brings righteousness, and that brings holiness into our lives. And of course, those are all found in the Word of God, in the Bible, and what the Bible teaches. And Jesus Christ himself being our example, and the Holy Spirit whom Jesus has given us will come and teach us and guide us into all truth. As the book of John says in John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciple. He's telling them about the function of what the Holy Spirit will do. It's that he'll teach us, and he'll bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus told us. Also, if you go on to the next chapter in John 16, Jesus gives a threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, "And when he," meaning the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." So the Holy Spirit is actually a very integral part of the Christian life. And he is also the one who will help us to not only receive the word, but also to be able to live out the word, the truth that we are supposed to do. And of course, one of the main tools that the Holy Spirit uses is actually the Word of God, the Bible, where in 2 Timothy it says that all Scripture, all the Bible, the entire Bible, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's through the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and also through reading of the Word of God, that we will come to know what the truth is. And not only are we supposed to hear about it and to accept it, to receive it into our hearts, but we're also encouraged by James to actually go live it out and to redo it. So going back to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, where it continues and says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes it himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So this clearly shows us, someone who just hears the word and not does it is actually not accomplishing the purpose or the goal of hearing the word. It's the same idea of someone who comes on Sundays and hears a wonderful preacher preach, but if they do not put it into their life and do not do the things that God tells us to do, then it's just someone just sitting there and hearing about it, and it doesn't affect much thing. It doesn't do much things. It doesn't benefit the person. It doesn't do anything. And using the idea of a New Year's resolution, as I pointed out just now, is that someone who just writes what their resolution is, maybe reading through the first five books of the Bible, and then not fulfilling it or not accomplishing it, then they'll forget, you know, eventually, as the months and days goes by, that they'll forget about it. Then, you know, maybe at the end of 2008, they'll just go flip through their things, and they'll find their old, you know, New Year's resolution for 2008, and realize that, hey, I haven't done anything about, you know, reading through the Bible, because, you know, I actually didn't purpose to do it day by day, but, or I didn't do, you know, a chapter per day, or whatever, and then he no longer was able to accomplish his goal. Jesus also gave us a good picture of the same idea. You know, it's called a parable, and in Luke, I believe chapter 6, in 46 to 49, let me read that to you. Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49, this is a parable of Jesus, where he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on that rock, on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So this is a good picture that Jesus portrayed or painted for us, showing us the difference between someone who does what he says and someone who just goes and hear what Jesus teaches us to do. You know, someone who not only hears it but does it is like a man who builds a house with strong foundation, a good foundation, so that when, you know, the pressures of life or the enticements of sin and the attacks of the enemy or of Satan comes, then the person can stand firm, because, you know, his house is built upon the foundation, or, you know, his life is built upon the truth of doing, continuously doing the truth of God's word, instead of just hearing the word and, you know, just flippantly doing whatever they desire or they want, without, you know, purposely trying to accomplish or fulfill what God tells us to tells them or tells us to do. And someone who does that, as in Luke 6:49, shows us that, you know, it's a house without foundation. And when the pressures of life and the enticement of sins and the attack of the enemies comes against that person, he won't be able to resist it, and he'll fall. And the ruin of that house was great. So this is the idea that James also wants us to have, is that, you know, not only should we first of all receive the word, the implanted word, which is able to save our souls, but, you know, as we keep on reading the word of God, as we go to church and to listen to great preachers preach, that we are not just there to be entertained, we're not just there to, you know, or to evaluate how good of a speaker that person is, but, you know, that person actually doing what God tells them to do and preaching the word of God, so that not only will we know what we're supposed to do, but we can actually, or not only can we understand what we're supposed to do, but we can actually know it and actually to go and do it. So that's the encouragement that James wants to give us, is that not we should be doers of the word and not just hear it only, deceiving ourselves. And the person who does this, who actually does the word of God, is like in James chapter 1 verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So those who actually does what God tells them to do will be highly and greatly blessed by God. And you know, in verse 25, it actually points out a very important thing, is that someone who looks into the perfect law of liberty, someone who purpose to know more about God, to read the Bible, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to understand what the Bible says, and to, you know, go on Sundays and whenever there's a church meeting, that they actually go and hear wonderful speakers speak about the truth of God's word, then someone who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is someone who will be blessed in God. Someone who looks into, using the analogy of the mirror that was given by James in the previous verse, in 23 and 24, the person who does not do the words, like someone who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. However, someone who looks into the mirror and who does it, who does the word of God, is someone who becomes more and more like Jesus Christ. It's like us looking into an example, and as we look more into Him, we become transformed into more, into becoming more like Him. This is the idea found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Actually, let me read verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And what this idea is that, you know, of course, in the Lord, in Him, we have liberty, we have freedom. And in what verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, that as we look into the glory, as we look into the truth of God's Word, as we look into Jesus Christ, that it's like a mirror, we see the glory of the Lord reflecting back into us, and then we are being transformed into the same image of the glory of Christ. We are being transformed from glory to glory, that each and every day, as we look more into who Jesus is, as we learn more about Him through reading the Word of God, that, you know, we see His nature, we see His character, that we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit within us to becoming, matching up into the image that we see reflected in the Word of God, and becoming more like Jesus Christ. So that's the idea, that someone who actually not only hears the Word and receives it, but actually goes and does it, lives it out in their life, will day by day be transformed into more like Jesus Christ, and will day by day transform into more of what a true Christian should be like. That's the idea found in James and in 2 Corinthians and also in Luke. So let's go back in James chapter 1:25, that, you know, the person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So this perseverance is actually a very important part of the Christian life. You know, doing the things that you know, and keep on doing it, not just doing it once. You know, because someone who just does it once and then forgets about it or neglect about it will not be able to accomplish his goal. For instance, once again, let's go back to the New Year's resolution example. For someone who, in his heart, he purposed to read through the first five books of the Bible for the next year. Let's say he does it diligently for the first month, but then maybe something happened that he forgot about it and he didn't continue in it. So that, you know, after the first month, when in February till December, he didn't continue reading the first five books of the Bible. And then, of course, at the end of 2008, he will turn back and reflect and realize that, oh, you know, I wasn't able to fulfill my goal or my desire or my New Year's resolution because, you know, I did not continue in it. So that's a similar idea, that those who hear the Word of God and who does it have to keep on doing it continuously, because as you continue to do it, you know, as you do little by little, day by day, you will grow. But if you stop suddenly, or if you stop, if you don't continue in it, then you won't be able to grow. So there's the idea of someone who not only hears and receives the truth, but who also does it. And not only does he do it, but he continues doing it. So this is sort of like a three-part thing in regards to becoming more like Jesus Christ, in regards to being someone who does the Word. So first of all, we have to humbly, with meekness, receive the implanted Word that is able to save our souls. And then not only are we supposed to receive it, we're supposed to do it and keep on doing it. So there's the three part. And someone who does that will be someone who is blessed by God, and someone who becomes more and more like Jesus Christ. So this is just a quick reminder for all the people out there, and especially the Christians, that as Christians, not only are we supposed to be someone who listens to the Word or who reads the Word, but we are also someone, we are to be someone who actually does the Word, and not only do it once or twice, but to keep on continuously doing it, so that, you know, we become more and more just like, as we see Jesus reflecting back His glory into us through the mirror of His truth, of His Word, that we become changed and matches up to the image of who Jesus is. So let's close this time with prayer. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us, Lord, that we are not only to be hearers of the word, but also the doers of the word. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this past year of how you have been wonderful to us and how you have blessed us during this past year. And look, and Lord, I look forward to 2008, Lord, next year, where we know that you have great and wonderful things planned for us, Lord. And as we prepare for next year, Lord, I ask, Lord, you'll just put it into our hearts to remind us, Lord, that not only are we to be hearers of your word, Lord, but we are also to be doers of your word. And not only doers of your word, but, Lord, to continue doing it each and every day. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, I pray your blessings over everyone hearing this message. And, Lord, just pour forth your blessing. And as we enjoy the end of the year and the start of next year, Lord, that you will be the center of our celebration. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.